Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. We're going to be focused in verses 1 through 13. This is the reading of God's Word. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I want to remind you that in the previous chapter, we have a brief account of Jesus' baptism. And I'm going to go back and read just those verses in chapter 3, beginning in verse 21, that tie directly to this. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Satan's strategy has always been the same. He wants to get you to doubt God's word. God had spoken clearly. Jesus heard it. God had said, "You are my Son." Satan now comes saying, "Is that really true? If you are the Son of God, and tell this stone to become bread. Prove it. Satisfy your hunger by doing something that the Father isn't telling you to do. If you're really the Son of God, if it's really true," planting that seed of doubt as he always does. We've said before, but given this text, we need to say again, Jesus was tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. That's Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who was tempted in all points just as we are. Now Jesus was tempted throughout the 40 days. But these temptations recorded by Matthew and by Luke give us a picture of three key temptations that seem to have come at the end of that 40-day period.
When you look back on your life, who comes to mind as someone who helped you when you struggled? You have the opportunity to be that person for a child in crisis. A growing number of people are committing to leave a gift in their will to organizations who care for children who are searching for healing and hope. Wares Valley Ranch is that place, and the healing and hope are found in Christ. After your family is cared for, would you please consider including a gift in your will to Wares Valley Ranch? When you do, you will become a member of Legacy 145, declaring Yahweh to the next generation. Learn more about Legacy 145 by going to wvr.org and click on the link. Again, the link for Legacy 145 can be found on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand.
Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. Some years ago, my brother was pastoring a church in Knoxville, and he challenged his congregation to fast for 40 days. Spend that extra time that you normally would do in getting your food and preparing your food and consuming your food and cleaning up after yourself. Take that time and spend that in prayer. Well, that was a tremendous challenge. My wife and I decided that we would do it, even though we would do it in a modified form. We went for 3 days with no food, water only. Then after those 3 days, for the next 17 days, we only did juice, water and juice, in order to get basic nutrients. And then the last 20 days of the fast, we ate just very bland food in small quantities. And throughout that 40 days, we endeavored to spend a lot of extra time in prayer, just seeking the Lord. And that was wonderful. However, our senses were also heightened. And literally, as we would drive down the road, we could smell the food. We could smell the restaurants. We began to discover places we'd never noticed were there because our body was trying to tell us and alert us to where there was food available. The cravings were intense toward the end of that 40 days. It was absolutely amazing. Jesus fasted completely, no food, for 40 days. I've known other people to do that. And let me just tell you, it is not an easy thing to do. But in that condition, at the end of that time, the enemy hits him hard with three key temptations. And the first is to simply satisfy a physical desire, and that physical desire is not a sinful desire. The desire for food is not wrong. There's not something wicked if you get hungry. Jesus was hungry, and there was no sin in him. For him to want something to eat was not sinful. The temptation was to question what the Father had said about his identity, and then to try and act miraculously, but not in submission to the Father. When Jesus would do his miracles, he would be asked often, where do you get the authority to do these things? And when Jesus gave answers, because he didn't always answer, but when he gave answers, He would say, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. The reason Jesus had authority to do those things is because he was under authority. And that's why Jesus marveled at the faith of the centurion who said to Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but I too am a man under authority. And I say to this one, go, and to that one, stay, and they do what I say. Why? I have authority over them because I am under authority. The centurion understood how authority works. The centurion understood that Jesus had authority because, as he said, I too am a man under authority. Jesus acted in perfect obedience to the Father. And that's why he could say what he did and have it happen. So now the devil's coming and saying, you know, if you're the Son of God, you ought to be able to be autonomous. If you are the Son of God, you ought to be able to do what you want. Satan's whole game has always been to give people the illusion that they can be free and be their own boss. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And yet that is, for many, the American dream. I want to be my own boss. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I want to do my own thing. That is the sinful attitude of every two-year-old. You say, well, not my two-year-old. I have a very special two-year-old. Okay, fine. Yours will hit it at age 3. I'm telling you, all of us, the human heart in its corrupt, unregenerate condition, all of us have this self-will. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, the way we want to do it, because we want to do it. And good parenting deals with that when our kids are little. And it's a battle. You have to address it. You can't just ignore it. You can't just say, well, we'll deal with it when they get older. We'll rein them in when they're older. But right now, they're little. What can you do? I'm just telling you, some people think the world ought to bow to them. Whatever I want, the way I want it, when I want it. Where do people get that notion? From the enemy? From Satan? And sadly, it is baked into our sinful human nature, which is why when we come to Christ, we have to begin to learn to die to self. We have to say, not just to our kids, no, you may not. We have to say that to ourselves. You understand? How many of you, let me just see a show of hands, how many of you in, oh, let's say the last month have been tempted to do something that you knew you shouldn't do? Could I see your hands? I'm looking. If I don't see your hand, I know we got a problem. Thank you. I got it now. All right. All of us have desires that we know are not right. Jesus did not have that sin nature that we have. But he was directly attacked by Satan trying to get him to do the same stuff that you and I are all tempted to do. And so it's not a sin to eat bread, but it is a sin to doubt God's word, and it is a sin, that is, to embrace that doubt of God's word, and it is a sin to try and satisfy your own desires without seeking to be obedient to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So do I have to pray as to whether or not I'm going to wear socks today or which shoes to put on? No, I don't have to pray about that and ask God for a special bulletin about all those things. But what I do need to do is to start my day with an attitude that says, God, I'm your servant. I'll do what you want. And if God doesn't want me to wear socks, he'll tell me. Otherwise, he knows I'm going to put some on. And if God wants me to wear some that clash with my outfit, he'll tell me. Otherwise, I'm going to pick some that go with my jeans. Okay? And if God doesn't want me to wear jeans today, he'll tell me. But otherwise, I'm going to put on my jeans because it's supposed to have gotten down to 28 degrees last night, and I'm thinking I'd like to be a little warm this morning. God doesn't have to tell me every little thing to do, but my position in relation to him is that he is the boss. And if he says, don't do that, it's like, oh, really? Okay. All right. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and led into the Judean desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil, and we have a window on that temptation as it comes right at the end with the temptation to turn stones into bread. He said, it is written. He answered with the word of God, which is the way that you and I are supposed to respond to temptation, with the word of God. Jesus said, man, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. So the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. He'll promise you the world. Ever heard that expression? Oh, be careful. That person will promise you the world. Well, that comes from here. That's what the devil promised. But here's the thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Jesus didn't just make the earth. Jesus is the Word through whom the universe came into being. And the devil is tempting him, hey, buddy, I can give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, Jesus knew the scriptures. The Father says to the Son, ask of me and I'll make the nations your inheritance. You see, those kingdoms ultimately do not belong to the devil. And when Jesus had died to pay for our sins and conquered death, before he went back to the Father, he says to his disciples, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, Jesus didn't need to get the kingdoms from the devil. But the devil was offering him the promise of a shortcut. You don't need to go to the cross. You don't have to die. All you've got to do is bow down and worship me. If the King of Glory bowed to Satan, it's game over. And the devil knew it. And he's trying to get Jesus to do it. Jesus will not bow. Jesus responded, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. When the devil led him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the highest point of the temple, he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, now the devil's quoting the Bible. But please notice he's ripping it out of context. When he quotes from Psalm 91, he's leaving out, if you make the Lord your dwelling. He's just jumping right in with a couple of verses ripped out, and he says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now the order of these three temptations in Luke is different from the order in Matthew, and Matthew's order of the temptations is almost certainly the order in which they occurred. Luke presents them so that geographically, Jesus is in Jerusalem at the end. But the point is not the order in which the temptations come. The point is that these are the basic temptations that you and I face. To look at something and want it. To have hunger for that thing and seek it. To do things that ultimately are self-harming and just trust that somehow God's going to take care of us. To ultimately yield our will to the enemy himself. Our first parents were told, you don't have to submit to God. His word is not trustworthy. You will not surely die. God just knows that if you eat that fruit, you'll become like him. You can be your own boss. You can be autonomous. No. If you eat that fruit, you have just obeyed your new master. You have submitted your will to the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants not to bless your life, but to wreck your life. And the temptations that you and I face are ultimately these same basic temptations, and it starts with not believing what God says. Not sure it's true. You know, I know God says this, but that doesn't feel right to me. That doesn't look right. Most people would not agree to that. Let's see if we can just kind of look at it another way. It's the same pattern of temptation. All of us deal with it. Folks, that's why we encourage you day after day after day after day, get in the Word, study your Bible, memorize the Scriptures, meditate on God's Word, because you need to know what God says, and you need to believe what God says, and you need to do what God says. Jesus responded to the temptations each time with the Word of God. And that's how we need to respond to temptation. But I want to remind you again, as we've said so many times before, that if the devil cannot get you to give in to the temptation, he will try and make you feel guilty for having been tempted. He'll bombard you with evil thoughts and then say, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have those thoughts. The fact of the matter is, Jesus was tempted to bow down and worship Satan. Some theologians have tried in recent years to suggest, and probably in previous years too, but I didn't read their stuff. But in recent years, some theologians have tried to suggest that Jesus wasn't really tempted. Okay? Well, that's totally contradicting what God says in his word. It not only says here in the Gospels that he was tempted by the devil, but it says, as we said earlier in Hebrews 4:15, that he has been tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. It is not a sin to be tempted. But pray that you'll not be led into temptation. Because temptation is not a fun thing. Jesus wasn't saying, oh, you devil, you. This is amusing. This is fun. No, it was tempting. It was tempting. It was tempting. Not because Jesus had a sin nature. He didn't. You and I do. But as we've said before, if I get knocked out in the first round and then try and tell the guy who lasts 15 rounds how hard that guy can punch, I'm a moron. Because the one who gets in the ring and survives the fight and wins the fight, he knows how hard the other guy can punch, not me. I got knocked out in the first round with the first punch. And so I can't say to Jesus, well, you don't know how hard it is. You've never been in the situation that I've been in. He was tempted at all points just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus met the challenge and he won. And now, his victory is given to us. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearsvalleyranch.org.